In the dim light of dawn, the city of Jerusalem lay shrouded in silence, its streets bearing the weight of the recent events just days before. Just beyond the city walls, in a garden tomb, lay the body of Jesus wrapped in linen, and the hopes and dreams of his followers are entombed there with him. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, hearts heavy with grief, make their way to the tomb. As they approach, they discuss the heavy stone sealing its entrance. They wonder how they might enter the tomb to anoint Jesus' body with spices. But when they arrive, they discover that the unimaginable has happened. They find the stone rolled away. Fear grips their hearts as they step inside, only to find that the tomb is empty and that the body of Jesus isn't there. Suddenly, two angels of the Lord appear before them, each wearing white. And with the roar of lightning and thunder, they declare, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen." Those words echo deeply into their souls, dispelling the darkness of grief and despair. For Jesus, the one they've given their hearts and lives to, is indeed alive. Today you're invited to discover the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and to experience the overwhelming gift of grace and salvation that's being offered through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Jesus is alive. He is risen. Risen indeed. Praise the Lord. The children are dismissed to Children's Church. And as we begin the message part of the service, please open a Bible to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, 1 through 12. Once again, open a Bible to Luke 24. Most of the other verses we have on the screen for you today, but that being a longer scripture, we'll leave it for you to open the Word of God yourself. We have Bibles in the pews. You're welcome to use a Bible on your cell phone or tablet, but let's stay focused not on your lunch plans for later, but on the Word of God. In fact, we have a magnificent brunch here later anyways, right after the service, so stick around. Today is another significant day in the life of a Christian. Today is Easter Sunday, or as I prefer, Resurrection Sunday, for that truly tells us what we're celebrating. We're celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior. And this day of which we're here to celebrate, it represents the climax to our faith. Let me say that again. It is the climax to our faith. And we're looking to Luke today to see, why does this matter? Why does Easter matter? The resurrection, again, is not only the climax to our faith, but it is central to our faith, for it changes everything. I don't know if you've ever thought about this before, but other religions around the world, they have graves to visit with people inside of them. But us as Christians, we have no dead Savior. We have a Savior who's alive. He's alive indeed. Please follow along as I read from Luke 24, starting at verse 1. And the Word of God says, "On the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared, expecting Jesus to be dead inside that tomb still. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, 'Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise.' And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. Praise the Lord. What a great climax to the story of Jesus' life and ministry, but it does not end there. I encourage you to continue to read on in the Gospels and see what continued to flow from the life of Christ, his glorified life, his resurrected life. As I said before, the resurrection of Jesus and the empty tomb of his story is central to our faith as Christians. It changes everything. In fact, Paul would later say that if Christ was not raised from the dead, the Christian faith, our faith, it's vain, it's meaningless, and that we are still dead in our sins. Vain, meaningless, without purpose. Think about that for a moment. Without the resurrection, our God would be a powerless over dead, meaningless Lord to worship, for his words would be meaningless. Everything he said and did would be meaningless because he did not raise, he'd be dead. And let me bring it to this idea now. Consider this idea, this powerful thought, or at least it was powerful for me. What does this mean for all the false religions around the world which have graves that they go to visit of their religious leaders dead in that tomb? Yet we know we serve and we worship a risen Lord, Christ Jesus, our Messiah. He is alive. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, what a Lord. Easter changes everything. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, it changes everything. And because of this, today, all around the world, the church, the brothers and sisters in Christ, Christ's body comes before him together to worship our Lord God Almighty for his great love. The work of the cross, the work of the tomb, over death, over the sin. It is a transformative power that comes from him being alive. And it changes us. It shows us victory. So what's so great about Easter? What's so great about Resurrection Sunday? And not just this day, but this whole idea. Victory. And that's what we're talking about today. In fact, everyone loves a good story of victory, don't they? As I think about stories of victory, stories of life, story of triumph over great despair and disaster, you may think about different things, but I think of things like sports, like Michael Jordan or some NBA star making that final shot at the buzzer. Maybe we think about Babe Ruth or Muhammad Ali, that great boxer from the past. Maybe you think about a football team coming back and winning in the final quarter. As I say that, I think of that Aaron Rodgers we used to have, and probably better we don't have him now. But I remember one game, it was in overtime at the end, and all of a sudden, he just led the team to a victory in that final run. Down the field, he threw one pass after another, and I'll never forget that moment. We also think of great battles, great warriors, great fighters, never giving up and winning the war before them. There are movies made after these sports events, movies made after these battles, made after these wars. But then even greater, I think about the heroes of our faith. I think about heroes like David, facing great obstacles, obstacles which some people would give up, and yet he did not. Goliath would fall. I think of Daniel. I think of Moses. I think of Abraham. You see, here's what I want to get across, though, as we move forward. When we experience powerful moments like this, we never forget them. Stories of victory have the power to shape and mold us for our future. We don't forget them. And when you think about this idea, now think of how Jesus' story molds us. We have the story of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is not dead. Easter, Resurrection Sunday, it is the time of year, the day when we remember the biggest, the greatest, the most pivotal moment of all time. A moment that changed the world and us forever. The resurrection of Jesus matters. It changes everything. Scripture tells us early in the morning, 3 days after Jesus' crucifixion, two women went to the tomb to deliver spices to the body of Jesus. Boy, were they in for a big surprise. When they arrived, they experienced something that would have been difficult to put into words. It would be hard to explain. It's easier for us to understand now because a couple of thousand years have transpired and we have the word of God to tell us about it. But they were not expecting this. The tomb was open. The rock, the stone rolled away. The tomb of Jesus, which was sealed by a massive stone, rolled across the entrance. To their surprise, was open. The stone rolled away. The tomb empty. Jesus gone. Nowhere to be seen. And let me tell you, the stone was not rolled away for Jesus' swift exit. And as I said swift, I have to laugh because it would not be swift. It wouldn't be very fast to have to try and move that rock, let alone after being horrifically tortured and whipped and flogged as we talked about on Good Friday. The stone was not moved away, rolled away for Jesus' swift exit. It was rolled away for you and me, for the ladies that day, for Peter, for the apostles to see what had happened there and to remember what Jesus had said. Remember, the body of Jesus Christ, the resurrected body, the glorified body, would later appear through walls, through locked doors. He did not need that stone rolled away, but we did. Jesus is risen. He's risen. Scripture says that he's risen. He's gone. The words of Jesus were true, and they remember those words. But how do we remember these words each day? Austin had said at the beginning of worship that we're here to worship Jesus for he's risen, but really we should worship the risen Savior every day. Easter is a special day as we gather together, many of us, to do this, but we should already be doing it. Amen? Back to Scripture. After they saw it themselves, the stone roll away, Jesus missing, suddenly two angels appeared before them in dazzling apparel, bright apparel. Some scripture says there was a giant earthquake and thunder. Something great and mighty had happened. Some scripture says they were sitting because the work had been done. As you'd imagine, the ladies here, Mary and Joanna, they were quite frightened. They were perplexed. What is happening? In fact, scripture says they were so frightened that they bowed to the ground. They knew not what to do. As I thought about that, I thought, why didn't they run? I think they were so frightened. They were stuck in their place. The angels then told them that Jesus was no longer dead. He was alive. He would not be found in the grave. Hear that today. Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. Say that with me. Jesus is alive. And because Jesus is alive, we live too. Praise the Lord, Jesus is alive, and because of his life, you can experience life forevermore. But we must accept Jesus as our Lord. We must worship him as such. We must recognize his sovereignty and his leadership over our life. We must confess our sin and say, Jesus, we need you to lead us, to forgive us. Thank you for your life, your death, your resurrection, your victory over the grave and our sins so that we can live with you forever. Here's my first point going into this message here. Experiences impact individuals. Experiences impact individuals. They're impactful, they're powerful, and they're life-changing. In fact, some would say their experiences are often better than explanations. In fact, just at Good Friday service, I had said that I wish I would have had somebody come up here that I read the words to the old rugged cross. Because to sing that, to have that experience, sometimes that's more powerful. That all depends on who does it too. I recognize that in that moment, me giving you the experience of me singing would not do it glory. And then I said it instead. Thank you, Chuck. It would be memorable. Here's the thing, this moment for these ladies was memorable. They had a life-changing, radical experience. And it was such an experience that they could not keep it to themselves. Why do we keep our experience to ourselves instead of bringing in others to this experience that we've had with us? The ladies, they would go on, they would quickly rush off to find the disciples to deliver the good news that Jesus was gone. He had risen from the dead. But how do you tell somebody a story like this? I mean, we think of it, we do it, and good for you, you should. We should be telling people the great story of Jesus risen. But this was the first time. These ladies rushed off to the disciples to explain that they went to the grave with spices to anoint the body of Jesus Christ, but the tomb was open, the stone was rolled away, and then to their surprise, the body was gone, and the clothes laid there. I saw a joke that Jesus was the only man that left his clothes folded. How would you possibly get somebody to imagine such a picture without experiencing it for themselves? Again, we try to do this day after day, week after week, year after year with Easter, I hope you do. You try and explain what you're celebrating. But nothing is as good as truly experiencing it. And that's why we must not just explain it. We must bring people into the experience by taking them into the Word of God and letting them see how the resurrected life of Jesus has brought you new life yourself. Let me give you an illustration, an example here of how experiences often change us, and the level of experience also changes. I remember growing up in the church and hearing the story of Easter each year. I wasn't in a family that, as far as I remember, that went to church week after week after week, as we should. We should be fellowshipping with one another, fellowshipping with the body. That's what the Word of God instructs. But I do remember going to church at those holidays. And I remember the songs. I remember the arts and crafts in children's church, as some of the kids are doing right now. I remember gluing and pasting some of those tombs together with the stone rolled away. But let me say, even though I had these things explained to me, and it was a level of an experience, it did not change me. It wasn't until later on when I had the experience of my brother Michael taking me into the Word of God to experience the transformative work of Jesus Christ, going to that cross, going to the grave, and raising victoriously, that my life was truly changed. It wasn't until that day and the years to come when I started to experience on my own what this meant by being part of the skits, part of the songs, part of serving, part of relationships, which went into the Word together, discipling one another, counseling one another, convicting one another, challenging one another. These things changed me. And it was all through an experience, not just through an explanation, but somebody saying, come with me. Let's go to the Word of God. Let's reenact these skits. Let's sing about it together. I had met Jesus and my life was changed. And it was all through experience. And this is what we see happens here next. Look in your Bibles. If you still have it open, look to Luke 24, 9 to 12. It says this, and I do have it on the screen now. Returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. All the rest. There's more here. Now is Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. It's not just one person. It's a multitude of people here all coming in. And I imagine this picture. I imagine them all almost talking over each other with excitement, trying to get the words out. They might even be speechless for a moment, but then it comes out and they tell them, they explain, they told these things to the apostles. This is almost unimaginable what happens next, friends. The apostles, these are the people who follow Jesus, who spent time with him, who listened to his words, who should have remembered his words, and yet listen, these words seemed to them like an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But then Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in, and he saw the linen cloths by themselves. It doesn't say they were folded here, but you know, it does. And he went home marveling at what had happened. Peter jumped up, ran to the tomb to see for himself. He wanted the experience. It wasn't enough to hear about it for him. He wanted to experience Jesus. Which brings me again to ask ourselves, do we truly want to experience Jesus? Because if we truly wanted to experience Jesus, I have to think we would go running to his word more. We would go running to our brothers and sisters in Christ, our friends more, to be able to experience these words of Christ together. To experience, how do we truly live? Because the world has it wrong, folks. The world has it wrong, and there's a reason why the world is living in such despair and hopeless. It's because there's a right way to live, and there's a wrong way to live. There's the right way, and that is the right way of God. We must listen to God's word more. We must dive into his word. How often do we metaphorically run to experience Jesus for ourselves? Not just because somebody tells us a story, but because we, like Peter, want to go beyond the story and run to Jesus. Peter's life would never be the same from that moment. Our lives running with Christ are never the same either. The resurrection of Jesus changes everything. Easter changes everything. The resurrection of Jesus changes everything because we encounter the love of God. Praise the Lord. Through the resurrection of Jesus, we are changed forever as we encounter the love of God for the world. Just how far God went to save us. I've heard it said that Christmas is a promise, Easter is the proof. The proof of what, you may ask? It's the proof that we indeed are loved by God. Jesus went all the way. God went all the way. Even when Jesus was crying those tears, though shedding tears of blood, he went on. Even when he was asking the Father at the Garden of Gethsemane, if there is another way, Lord, take this away. He went on. He did all that needed to be done. He did it for the joy that was set before him. We'll read that in a moment. But first, I want you to see this. The Apostle Paul, a great missionary, a great man for God, of which we all can be great men for God, saints set apart by our new life. He writes a prayer to the early church of Ephesus with this in mind, our new life, and the experience of which he wished them to have. He says this, Ephesians 3:16-19. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being. Now I truly believe, I'm stopping for a moment, I truly believe as Paul says this, he truly is praying too. He's not just saying idle words, he's praying. And we all should take that seriously when we say we're going to pray for somebody, pray for them. Truly pray for them. Paul's praying for these people. And as he prays, he's telling them what he's praying for. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being so that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. Through faith, not works, through faith. Christ has done all the work. There's a reason he's not on that cross anymore, because he doesn't have to continue to be, because it was enough. It is finished. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, that is of great importance. We must be rooted in the love of Christ Jesus. Rooted. And when we are rooted, we start to have this next thing. Being rooted and established in love, you may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how long, how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Hear this. God's love for you is so great, so immeasurable, really, so unimaginable, really, because it's so hard for us to think of in our sinful states just how great his love is and how sovereign it is, that Paul is praying for them to grasp it. He's praying for them to experience it because he truly believes he needs God's help for them to experience this. We too can be praying to grasp onto how great and wide and long the love of God is. The best thing I could write down as an illustration here to help us understand this, and nothing can truly compare, but I wrote down, possibly we'd understand more when we think of the life-changing experiences of seeing the ocean for the first time, or seeing the mountains for the first time, I know a lot of people up here, you haven't seen the ocean. As I grown up in Ohio, was a lot closer, but you've seen mountains. You've seen the hills. You've seen the streams. You've seen the rivers. I wrote down also, maybe it's for the first time seeing a child born, holding that child, that infant in your arms. Maybe it's seeing a child taking their first steps. For the first time ever saying dad, saying mom, saying your name, or maybe being wed. These moments make you feel more alive, more like a dad, more like a mom, more like a child of God and blessed. You see, we've seen these things in movies. We've read about them in books. We've heard about them through conversation, but there's nothing like truly experiencing it for ourselves. Nothing can capture the beauty of these things, the magnitude of these things, how great and mighty and influential and impacting these experiences are upon one's life. Back to Paul, this is why Paul is praying for these people to experience these things for themselves, to truly be rooted and have this foundation to be able to see the great love of God, to experience how wide and long and deep the love of Christ is for themselves, to grasp it. I pray the same for us. I pray the same for my family, for all of us. But I also pray that that would never be enough for just us to care about our families and our friends, our brothers and sisters in Christ. We have this message to pray that all the world would understand, to grasp, to experience. As we remember the rugged cross, the nail-scarred hands, the feet of Jesus that took our sin, as we recall the rolled-away stone, an empty tomb, and our risen Savior Jesus that offers power over sin and death, I pray that we would be able to sense how amazing Christ's love is for us, because all of this was for us. He endured all that he did for you and for me. Hebrews 12:2 says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Our faith is made perfect in him. It says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Praise the Lord. Oh, what a Savior. Jesus is mine. Hear this. Easter, the resurrection of Jesus, it changes everything. Because God's love experience here has the power to change everything in us. I want to say that again as you're thinking, why Easter? What's so good about Easter? Why should we be talking about this with people we meet on the streets? Easter, the resurrection of Jesus, it changes everything because God's love experience here has the power to change everything in us. The resurrection matters because it shows God's love in action, and it changes you. It changes you. If you don't feel like you've been changed, then maybe you need to pray to God to help you experience a new change today. One once said, the truest thing about you is that you are loved by God. Do you know that today? You are loved by God. And it's in this great love for you and this great love for humanity that God sent his one and only son, Jesus, to die for you. But it wasn't enough for him to just die for you and save you and to accept you how you are. He wants to better you. Yes, he accepts you as you are. You come to him and you say, Lord, be my Savior. Forgive me of my sins. Please, Lord, be my Lord. But by proclaiming him to be your Lord, you also let him lead you. And as he leads you, he changes you into the righteousness of how you should be. He knows your shortcomings. He knows your blemishes. He knows your struggles. He knows your weaknesses. He's aware of all your mistakes. And Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, it's enough to cover them and to change you and to move you forward into a new life. There's hope available to all those who place their faith in Jesus as Lord. Here's my final point and challenge for you today, though. Do others experience Jesus when they experience you in their life? We've talked a lot about this lately in the recent sermon series we've been in. Do they see your hope that resides in you? Yes, we can get caught up in all the despair, all the struggles, all the loss of life. We can get caught up in all the ways life just isn't going the way we'd like it to. But we must help others experience Jesus, for Jesus has changed our life, and we have hope beyond all these things. We are meant to be a resurrected people, a people group who live and relate to others out of hope, love, and joy, out of a resurrection power that has changed our lives for the better. So why do we keep living like if our lives are in despair? Live for the hope that Jesus gives. Proclaim the hope that Jesus gives. Paul writes about this. Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile." Friends, we cannot afford to be timid or embarrassed to let others know by word or deed, experience about what Jesus has done in our life. In fact, just yesterday, it's more powerful than ever. I struggle with that because it's always been powerful to share the word of God, to share why Easter matters, why resurrection of Jesus matters. But just yesterday, Biden declared today, Easter Sunday, April 31st, to be the National Transgender Visibility Day. This is wrong. I cannot say it strongly enough. I'm sorry, but then I have to take a little bit of responsibility and say, is it a little bit because we don't talk enough about what Easter truly means and how it matters to us? The world's still dying and it's in despair. It's in darkness. Everything will come to an end or keep coming down and down, not to an end because Christ will make it anew. But until Jesus returns, we do know that the world will continue to live in sin. But we must live beyond that sin, live in our newness of life, and proclaim that there is a better way to live. Because there is a matter of life and death at stake. There is a matter of heaven and hell at stake. There is a matter of hope and despair at stake. So again, I ask, do others experience Jesus when they experience you? Do others see the hope in you, the hope of Jesus? Do others see that there's a better way to live, a right way to live? And because of the way you live in Christ, with Christ's teachings in mind and in action, you live joyful. That doesn't mean you're not going to struggle. We struggle, we do, but we're different because those struggles don't bring us down. Ask yourselves, do people leave your presence with a greater sense that Jesus is alive and that there is resurrection power for them to also live in? Do people experience the love and hope of Jesus when they spend time with you? As one once said, you may be the only Jesus someone ever encounters and the only Bible someone ever reads. You may be the only Jesus someone ever encounters and the only Bible someone ever reads. The world we live in needs to experience Jesus. Amen? Amen. Let me close with this idea, this thought, and a little bit of talking about it. But the world we live in needs those who have been transformed by the love of God to share this news. The world needs those who have been transformed by the love of God and the news of Jesus, a risen Lord worshiped, to share this news. I hope this message has inspired you, has challenged you to live that way. But I also say, if you have not had a resurrection story of your life, if you have not seen how the Easter story, the resurrection of Jesus, can truly change you, I ask you, allow it to change you today. Allow it to change you today. March 31st, not April, by the way, March 31st. 2024. May this be a day that lives in infamy of your life, a goodness, a good way though, of how your life was forever changed. The truth is, the resurrection life is better experienced than explained. So why allow people to keep explaining it when you could begin experiencing it? The disciples would go to the tomb. They would see for themselves that Jesus was not there. And they needed to see that empty tomb with their own eyes because it was at that time that they remembered. They remembered all Jesus had said, I encourage you, I challenge you all, remember what Jesus has said. Remember the words he taught. But then remember that he's not dead. He appeared to many hundreds, and he carries on intervening for you today at the right hand of God. Respond to Easter. Experience the resurrection of our Lord Jesus. Grasp his great love. Be rooted in him. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, Easter, matters. It changes everything. It changes us. It brings light, hope, and life to the world. Let me close in prayer, and we'll have one song to close us. Again, I do encourage you, please stick around as we have a great brunch. And I'll pray for that now also. Lord God, we thank you for your love. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for Jesus is not a dead religious leader living in a tomb somewhere or dead in a tomb somewhere with people visiting this tomb. Lord, we worship a risen Lord. He is alive and everything he said has come true. We serve a risen Lord and we worship him as the Son of God. Hosanna, King of our life. Continue to save us. Lord, thank you for the salvation we have. And Lord, we pray for the food that we're about to enjoy as well. May it greatly enrich our lives. And as we have fellowship together, may we grow together through our experiences of living together as brothers and sisters in Christ. And all God's people said, amen. Please stand. Let's worship together with O Praise the Name.
Cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior on that cursed tree. His body bound. Yeah.
a great joy it is to see these pews filled with brothers and sisters in Christ. But I do encourage you, I know you all have plans that you need to get to, family plans, or maybe just the brunch right next door in our gym. I encourage you to stick around. But I also encourage you for this. Always be praying for the revival of our nation and the world. Always be praying for, like Paul, for people to experience Christ, to be rooted and to know Him and to know His great love more fully. And with that said, I encourage you, and you all have plans, I know you do, but I encourage you, do you need somebody to pray with today? Do you need somebody to talk with today? Come see me, I'm up here. See somebody beside you. See one of our deacons, one of our leaders. See our great pastor emeritus here, Pastor Eldon Carlson. There are many here today which would just love praying with you, would love talking with you. And I'm up here. I'm going to be up here. If you need somebody to talk to, whether it's because you need to experience the resurrection power of Jesus for the first time, for a second time, or for the 100th time, I'm here. Come pray. Let's talk. God bless you. Have a great week.